Welcome to the Heart Soul Wisdom Podcast, a journey of self-discovery and transformation. Moira Sutton and her amazing guests share real-life stories, tools, and strategies to inspire and empower you to create and live your best life. Come along on the journey and finally blast through any fears, obstacles, and challenges that have held you back in the past, so you can live your life with the joy, passion, and happiness that you desire. Now, here's your host, Create the Life You Love Empowerment Life Coach, Moira Sutton.
Welcome to episode 18. Transform and Heal Yourself with Sound, with our special guest, healing sound composer and author, Jill Mattson. Jill is a prolific artist, musician, and author. She is widely recognized as an expert and composer in the field of sound and color healing. She has also produced 10 musical CDs with intriguing magical tracks using ancient and modern techniques and special healing frequencies to achieve profound benefits. Jill's Wings of Light is dedicated to the sharing and advancement of sound healing and strives to spread awareness and knowledge of the many novel uses of sound energy for the benefit of mankind. She reveals how sound healing techniques have been used for growth and enlightenment throughout the ages. Uniquely, Jill combines information of ancient origins with modern scientific findings to present innovative paths to restore health, vitality, emotional strength, balance, intelligence, and higher consciousness. So exciting. So without further ado, please welcome Jill Mattson. Welcome, Jill.
Oh, Moira, it's lovely to be here, and I'm excited about sharing new ideas with our listeners. There's a world of free energy out there. It's very powerful, and it's called sound. So
I am so excited about this. We've never had a guest on like you. And I know you are passionate about what you do. You're a brilliant lady. And there's just going to be so much information that we'll probably have to have you back, because we would be going on for hours, I have a feeling. So let's just dive in, and we're just going to have fun. So, Jill, what is the most powerful way to use sound for healing and transformation?
You can use sound for healing on your physical levels, your emotional levels, your mental levels, and even your spiritual levels. If you have, let's say, I had a case of shingles, which, as everyone knows, is very, very painful. Mm-hmm. And I listened to anti-shingle sounds, and I got them away in about 45 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
On the onset, it takes longer time listening if I've had the shingles for a week or so. If I listen right at the beginning of the outbreak, it's very, very quick. But think of looking at the cell of a shingle, and think of like a circle, like a jellyfish, and it breathing in and out. Well, with physics and, of course, our microscopic, abilities, we can measure what is the frequency. In other words, what's the cycle per second? What's the rate of that breathing? And let's say it's 60 cycles per second. We listen to 1 over 60. They combine 60 times 1 over 60 is 1. Cancels out. Go on. So that's a pretty powerful one right there. And sound is also a carrier wave. So let's say I have a teenage son. I'm just going to the emotional realms for an example. And I want to let him know that I care about him, but he's at a stage where it's just not cool to say that. You can say, oh, what time would be home for dinner? And there's the love.
So is that how sound of your voice influences ourselves and others?
Absolutely. You see, everything in close proximity interacts. We don't see it, but even like what we look at, we take a signal, it goes into our eyes, into our brain, interpreted, we've received that frequency. With sound, it's more powerful. It goes in our ears, and then the energy is transmitted like a computer. Like it turns into a digital signal, and through the nervous system, it can go through the entire body. Bam. Or it can go into sensors in our skin, and then it travels in an analog fashion in our skin, like a hybrid. We're like a hybrid computer. Or it can resonate. And resonate, just think of having two violins close. You play the A string on one, the A sound starts on the other one. Energy transfers on the same frequency. So is that
what sound resonance is then, the process of the resonance?
Yeah, so like let's say you're on the street and somebody comes out doing their subwoofers, boom, boom, and it shakes your bones. Mm-hmm. That's because it's the frequency of your bones. And energy is going back and forth from the radio in your bones. That's why they shake. And so, you ingest it absolutely. You ingest everything around you, small amounts. But here's the thing, you know. You can listen to music while you sleep. You can listen to music all day long. And you can get a very, very decent dosage. We've just never known what to do with it. But now, with science and antiquity coming together, you can use it to tune your organs, tighten your skin, change your mood, connect to guides and spirits, put aura, light colors, get rid of all those negative feelings, and it goes on and on and on. It's just a powerful source of energy.
How did you know what kind of music to listen to when you had shingles? Like if somebody has a heart problem or they're anxious or they've got a health issue going on, how do they know with your work how to pick that music to listen to do?
Well, probably as to not invest in a lot of equipment and study if they just want the results. Yeah. I have a book called Secret Sounds that shows you how to access the work of Sherry Edwards. And there are many people that will put everything in your world into sound. But I like hers because she has classes and teach you how to do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, what she does is get into your body by everything in your body's holographic. And therefore your voices as well. And just as light comes through a crystal, it breaks into rainbow colors. Sound also can go through a transformer and break into musical notes of the scale. Same thing. And with that scientific phenomena, she can look at every frequency in your body, your liver, your biochemicals, the formula of digestion, the fight last night. It's all in there and it's all vibrating. And there's other people that do it as well. I had a friend of mine who calculated your frequencies through skin pressure, galvanic skin pressure. You can use a sonoscope. There's many ways. But it usually involves technology.
You know, this is so powerful what you're sharing here that it's like everyone in the world should know this.
I'm working on it.
I'm so glad you are. I know that you tie, yeah, it's so important. You know, you've said about the information that's found in our voice that we can also align our voice with our life purpose. How do we go about doing that one? Because a lot of people are questioning, you know, what is my life about? What is my purpose?
First of all, I think I would get to a very comfortable spot, like a deep meditative spot. And, or we could if you'd like. I don't know if you want to do it, but I go into a deep meditative state and I simply ask for the presence of my higher self. Now, I'll do that right now and listen to my voice. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Maura, what would you like to hear?
Now, do I respond to you with that?
If you want.
Or I can just take it in.
That was the voice of my higher self.
Yes, I heard the shift. Very powerful.
Yeah. And so when I start to be conscious enough to speak in that voice, I embody the power of my higher self. And you suck it up. Yes, you do. And so does everyone else listening. You see, the ancient masters, they healed with their voice. Yes, they were highly conscious. Yes, they used other means. but one was their voice. Think of Jesus saying to the weather, be still, and he and Peter go out and walk on the water. Part of that miracle is his voice. He connects in with that energy and communicates. And actually, you know, it seems kind of wowee, you know, all these masters. But I believe that everybody has that ability. If you go to, let's say, you have three potted plants and they're all very different.
Mm-hmm.
One's kind of spiky. Take the others out of the room and keep that spiky one in your room. Put it close and concentrate. Look at it. Feel it. Feel how you feel. And I suggest that you'll feel how that plant feels. Maybe you'll feel, oh, it needs water. Or maybe you'll feel, I need some attention. Or maybe you'll feel, hey, man, let's go out and play. But what happens is we get the signal and attribute it to ourselves, our thinking, our musing, our daydream. But it is coming from the plant. We tie into other species.
Yes.
An animal, you look into the eyes and it cocks its head and it wants something, you know.
Yes, I love your two analogies there, or metaphors of that, because first of all, we have this plant, we've had it with us over 20 years now, and it's in the front of our meditation room. And I talk to it every morning. I open the light, I talk to it, I talk to the babies growing. That tree or that plant just grows. And I talk to all my plants. And then we have a willow tree behind us, which I talk to. And then you talk about animals, I talk to animals. So see, all that just fits with what I've been doing for a long time. But like you, I studied Lynn Mitardit's work many years ago, and she talked about plants and sending energy, and it could be good thoughts or not so good thoughts, and how that plant reacted, let it be in fear, or if there was a threat, or out of love, and just the result that happened from that, and how, yes, we communicate because we're all one.
And so we're communicating with our voice. We're communicating our thoughts, our feelings. Actually, the content of a word is shallow. It's a thumbprint. It's a quick summary. It's not a very refined digital image. Whereas our being speaks with our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, our intent. It's all there. And the voice is a carrier wave. So you can get into all that information. And some just a little interesting offshoot. David Oates in the 70s, I believe, he's an Australian. And his tape deck was broken. And it was playing backwards, and it was a little bit lower in pitch than it should have been. And he noticed that all of his tapes on this broken tape deck had messages. So the sound's going backwards and it's lowered a few pitches. So he found, like, someone would say, hey, I really think you look great today. And then he'd hear a message like, oh my gosh, you look terrible. So he would hear the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
He would hear the lie. But I hate, almost in a way, to even use the word lie, because lie implies intent and malice. I think where the lack of harmony, I'm going to use instead of lie, comes in with our subconscious mind and our lack of truth with ourselves. So, for example, one of the things Sherry Edwards does is if you have, I think it's A and E sharp if in voice, if you have high degrees of those, you're lying. That's always present when someone's lying. But it's the broader definition of lie. And so a friend of mine was going to go to college. And she said, oh, I'm going to go to college. Looks at her voice, huge amount of those two notes. Liar, liar, pants on fire. She gets really mad because she intends to go. And her voice registers, nah, I don't think so. Anyway. She had to move because she was not able to get to the classes, and she had three kids and she's a single mom. So she had to move before that was even a possibility to go back to school. After she moved, then the A and the E disappeared from her voice. See, so she was quote unquote lying, but her being didn't really recognize her muster and commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And it created dissonance in her voice.
Mm.
So when the ancients in Atlantean talk about one of the virtues and one of the powers, they desired purity. It's like not speaking with a forked tongue, as Jesus said. It's much broader than lying and not lying, although it includes that. It's like if you don't know your subconscious mind, this energy plays out. Maybe you call it destiny or fate. But if you have a lot of pain that you shoved down and you have hidden resentment for a person, your voice will show you that it's there. Your frequencies will show it's there. Your mind may have no idea it's there because you repressed it. And I think part of the enlightenment is getting into those dark corners, kind of like, you know, when you're going to clean your house and you got the attic full of crap and you have to get in there and unload all that stuff to get the energy moving. So a lot of us have that. You know, we live with difficult people, have difficult situations. Name a person who hasn't had a lot of pain. And if you don't feel it and process it, you get to keep it. Mm-hmm. And it resonates. So like if I have anger, that's the same frequency. If I get my sonic oscilloscope out and I may be on a newly departed person so I can touch their liver, I'm going to get the frequency of that liver, and that and anger are the same. So every time I get angry, it's going to be stored there. Think that I worry, I get an ulcer. And that's because the frequency of worry is the same as the lining in your tummy. So the energy transfers. And so we have within us, I wouldn't say bad things. I would say things that need to come to the light and just observe, and then they go. I have music that does that too. I have to credit dear old Pythagoras because it was his idea. thank you, Pythagoras. Anyway, he would use, or maybe I should say the Greeks at that time, were looking to heal the mind, body, soul with emotions, a very new thing because older civilizations had not done that yet. And so they're looking to heal your illness by looking to heal your ulcer by having no worry. That type of approach, since emotions and health are so close. They were looking build the world through virtue. And I know that's kind of an old-fashioned word, but maybe through positive emotions is more, you know, palatable today. And they would try to build their society and the strength of their people by using sound to vibrate with their pain, kind of like claw it out of their tissues and then release it. And then they would listen to music that made you feel a virtue. Now, let's say you go to a movie and you see some brave guy win the day. Maybe you feel a little braver during the movie. And what's it last? 5 minutes. But in like ancient Egyptian times, their warriors would listen to music like that since they were kids and their entire life. And look at the Romans, who had known for their strength, their power, you know, the Roman army, the epitome of masculine power. Their instruments are trumpets, tubas, drums. It's that masculine kind of like instilling unity and getting a tribal kind of connection, and fear goes away. So music is used to, in that case, make your warriors really scary.
I think that's so fascinating because I was just reading Greg Braden's last book on the ancient codes and how he talks a little bit about music, but more about the words again, how the Romans and different warriors during history, before they go into battle, they're saying these words, and part of it's from the Bible and just what it means in different areas, and that how they're calling on this state before they go into battle. And so that's very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So to the United States, think during the Civil War, you had all these beautiful young boys and in comes the band and, you know, the flutes and the drums and the, you know, they're building up the glory and they're manipulating people that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the case of Greg Braden's book, what I took was, in that case, not manipulation, but to really empower these people before they went into battle. And that's what I loved about that. Tell us right now how, you know, we talk about pain and anxiety right now. A lot of people are in a state of fear, uncertainty. And of course, with this coronavirus, you know, you tell us how music can be used to, I don't know about a fight about the coronas, but to keep our bodies and our immune system really strong and healthy during this period of uncertainty.
Well, Sherry Edwards and I work together. A quick summary on Sherry is that she can hear, she has abnormal hearing. She can hear cells communicate, little cell, subatomic communications. If you have diabetes, she can hear your cells, the frequencies they emit to try to heal it. So everybody with diabetes sounds the same to her. And anyway, she's developed a science from this because she's realized that sound can pretty much take care of everything. Anyway, normally, as I started this off with the shingles, when you have a shingles virus, you can, many methods, come up with its frequency, and often there'll be like a bunch of strains of them. So you can come up with their frequency and listen to the reciprocals, and they cancel out. And that's what your Rife technology is and your Rife machines. They're just the reciprocals of strains of diseases, a way to get rid of anything you don't want. Let me see. So the problem with the coronavirus was that it is a strain, a group of strains, and it's man-made, according to Sherry Edwards, and it's very nasty. So it's got maybe 6 to 8 strains that come together, and when you erase, if you will, one strain, it triggers the next. You erase that one, it triggers the next. So you can't really cancel it out because it's very, it's been manufactured and it's very ingenious. So in lieu of that, what Sherry did was she looked at the body and watched the coronavirus come in and take over. And so like first was glutathione and then quercetin. These are biochemicals that, you know, maybe you get from eating broccoli and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
So she saw them take out certain nutrients and take them, basically the virus would come in and eliminate vitamins and so forth. And she just took them in order. And she came up with a fairly large handful of nutrients that you're going to lose as soon as you're exposed to that coronavirus. Then I took them, put them in similar key signatures. And see, digital music, you can move up and down to match what you want. And now they all play in music. So I wouldn't say it's a cure to coronavirus, not at all. But it's kind of like, you know how you take those pills and right before you get in a cold and it just boosts your immune system,
mm-hmm.
airborne or something like that. Anyway, it's like that, tailored to the coronavirus. It's an hour's worth of free music that I composed and performed and recorded. And all of the tones are in the music. So it's at coronavirusdefense.org, and you can download the whole hour for free.
That's
wonderful. It also works on other viruses, too.
Mm.
It's boosting your immune system. And if someone has an overactive immune system, please don't listen to it.
What is an overactive immune system?
Some medical conditions are an overactive immune system that will actually attack itself.
Do you have an example of that?
I think it's fibromyalgia is one.
Mm.
There's others. Autoimmunes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So fascinating. Jill,
mm-hmm.
please share with us how sound codes can connect you to the heavens. And really, how did you learn this? It's very fascinating. And how can each one of us do this, connect to the heavens? And what's it like?
Okay, we're going to talk about dimensions and then sound codes. I want you to
perfect.
Think of one dimension is a dot on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
A second dimension is a line on a piece of paper. Third dimension, you take that paper and you fold it and build a little paper house. Fourth dimension, it's in time. See the pattern that the line is has the dot as part of it. The paper has the line as part of it. We're surrounded with the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth dimension. And there is interplay and there is interaction. Think that you take that little paper house and you set it on fire. Okay, there's a 3D problem, but does that affect 2D? Oh, yes. Does it affect 1D? Absolutely. And the dot may not have the vantage point of all that is in 3D, but it's certainly connected. So keep that in mind. I just had deep meditation, and I frequently leave my body, and a lot of the things that I bring forth in sound techniques, I don't know who sends me these places or why I pop out of my body, but I guess I have to thank spirit in some way because it's given to me. So in deep meditation, I saw that, I saw myself in these sound codes in Atlantis or Lemuria, in these sound temples, and we were involving into matter. We were more high dimensional and we were becoming three dimensional. And we were doing that because in the three-dimensional world, we're further from God. We're more individualistic. We get to experience things like mercy and, you know, and giving. You can't experience that when everybody has everything and everybody's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Coming down here to really to be children of God growing up, you can't learn individuality when you're in the fifth dimension because you're a group soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of things down here that we desired. So what I saw was kind of like, think of God as like every radio station in the world. And as we evolved into matter, we got less and less stations. Now we only have one, and it's ourself. Think of Elvis Presley. I did it my way. Okay. So what I saw was how would you turn off all those radio stations? You can't actually make a locked box because signals can actually even go through. And so what I saw was that we like string theory was cracked and we were all connected with strings or strings were everywhere. They were infinitesimal little strings and vibrations. And I just saw people like knot the strings, cut them off. And so you wouldn't have this set of input. You wouldn't have that set of input. You wouldn't be aware of that set of input. And when they knotted them, they made patterns. And the patterns, when I saw them in this dream, they were sacred geometry. So you go to an ancient site and they have the symbol over a place. Well, that's the pattern. And you look into the ancient languages of light. They talk with the language, unlike today's symbolic language. The language and the energy was the same. So Ben, walk forward, say it backwards. Neb, you know, is walk backwards. So the if you were to have a gong and put sand on it and ding the gong, it's going to make a shape with the inner. Sand is going to come in and make a shape of the interference pattern. Well, that shape is going to be synonymous with that sound and tone. When you're telepathic, you don't need to communicate with your voice. Voice and sound is more like a jackhammer, a tool. And so sound was used for purpose. Language was used for purpose. Brr actually literally makes you warmer. Ouch relieves pain. And in these languages, in which the words represented the energy of what they were talking about, they're called languages of light, Sanskrit, let's say, ancient Chinese, Egyptian. They are more powerful than our communication, which is symbolic. And I believe that's because as we enter more deeply into duality, we have more potential to hurt ourselves. So, whomever said, sticks and stones won't break your bones, or will break your bones, but words will never hurt you, was a great big fat liar. Think of horns, tail with spike. Words can hurt you very much. And with these kind of like dumbed down words, we're more protected from ourselves. But anyway, that was just a little aside. We're going into involving into matter in which we are disconnected. And what I saw was I saw kind of us losing this connectivity by just having stops on strings so that we didn't get those information, and that you could untie the knot with the sound and its harmonic chain. So what's a harmonic chain? Harmonic chain has nothing to do with the word harmonious. A harmonic chain or harmonics, they're just after ripples of sound. In a visual analogy, you drop a rock in a pond. The rock goes and makes a circle in the water as it sinks, and the ripples go out. Or harmonics, you hear them in a Gothic church. You sing and the echo goes on and goes up in pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Pythagoras is credited with, although it is older than him, the mathematical formula. The sounds go up in pitch according to mathematics. Furthermore, it gets better than that, Moira. Get a load of this. Your guy, when Sherry Edwards looks at your digestion, it's a chemical formula, and she puts the cycles per second or numbers into the chemical formula of digestion. It's a harmonic chain. So in a sound way of looking at the world, it's like you're eating and there's a sound and then there's those after vibrations. And if you want to look at your heart, the heart is going to have a fundamental tone, but the pieces are going to have tones of harmonic patterns. It's very, very universal. Harmonics are easily expressed in vowels. A, E. Now listen. They're the same pitch, although they don't seem it. Listen. A, E. Same pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But A is seen so lower than E. Because the harmonics kind of like spray and more energy goes into the higher harmonics when my mouth forms the E shape. And that just really kind of like reveals the existence of harmonics. So I just saw how symbols relate to to musical notes, colors, and the harmonics. And when you go through antiquity, like when the pharaohs pass over, they have a vowel chant. The priests would chant vowels to the pharaoh after he dies to go to the highest afterlife position. You look in the Greeks, some of their highest rituals involve vowel chants, and it's in Sumeria, it's in China, it's all over. And so I was just shown how you can take symbols, sigils, letters from these ancient languages of light and transpose them into sound and harmonics. And that certain patterns open up dimensions. So I have quite a few. I have sound codes for stars, which I believe, or I was shown, that they open up chakras above your head. I have every ancient culture, but I took from the ancient Hebrews. They have sigils for 72 angels of God and 72 names of God, and I've converted them into sound. I have sound for Yahweh. I have sound for like that for chakras. And they don't sound like music, but they do transform you to a different meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these things have correspondences. So an angel, for example, is going to have a sigil, and that would have been used in white magic with the druids, for example. But the sigil, which is a symbol, kind of like with cymatics, you know, you say a sound and it creates a shape in matter. A sigil is the shape and matter from the angel's energy. So with the sigils, it's kind of like opening a connection to them. And with the stars, it opens up chakras above your head.
Let's go, let's just tap into that one, because, you know, you talk about the 16th chakra, and, you know, how does someone activate that and connect to, have the way you said it, the brightest star in the night sky?
Well, first of all, just going through antiquity, I have a sound code to open up the silver cord between chakras, mm-hmm. and then I have sound codes for the chakras found in a lot of the temples in Egypt, and I just put them to sound. And then I put in the correspondences. So like, you know, a star might be associated, well, it's easier with the angels. They're associated with an element, fire, air, earth, water. They're associated with other angels. So I channel their essence, which records. They're associated with a fragrance, which is a frequency. They're associated maybe with an organ or something in your body. That's a frequency. And so, when you listen to my codes, they're the actual sounds of the sacred geometry found in antiquity, and then all the correspondence play in the back. So you hear literally tape sound of stars, animal sounds, frequency codes for crystals and stuff like that in the background.
So when you talk about these frequency codes, what about the Fibonacci? Can you explain to our listeners what that is?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The ancient idea was that God created nature. God created the flower and the sun, and, you know, and the fern plant and everything else. And they had a different idea of mathematics than we do today. So you read the old stuff and you don't quite get it, because our definitions of the words are so very different. But their idea of mathematics was to come up with a numbering system that represents patterns that they see with their eyes that are found in nature. So they had a way called like whirling squares in the Egyptian culture. Anyway, they, almost every culture had different ways of just looking around them and finding common patterns, the most common being the spiral in a beehive, in a flower. It's like you've got this spiral and the frequency between two neighboring tones in a spiral, like at least 10,000 times in your body. I don't know, if God was making the world with an Etch-a-Sketch tool and you only had knobs... So let's say he has one knob that goes straight. That would be your solfeggio tones. If he has one knob that goes and makes a curve on this Etch-a-Sketch toy, that would be the Fibonacci.
That's what, wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, and ancient people would copy nature in their building, in their music, in their dance, just all over the place in their music. So that was every ancient, that was all across the globe, was to copy and be one with nature. And they felt when you were in perfect tune with nature, you're in perfect tune with nature's creator, God.
I love when you talk about those different images. I know the spiral has been part of my branding for my dolphins, going the mind, body, physical, mental, emotional bodies going up or down. And what people see in that, I wanted to get an idea what they saw in the spiral. But I also have had different time travel and that into other societies in the past, where I saw the spiral in that room with different art. And I was like, oh, this is part of what we have today. It was very, very interesting. And as I mentioned that time travel or going into different things, how do you time travel with sound? You have so much to share, Jill.
Oh gosh, yes. Well, let's put it this way. I do a lot of past life regressions on myself and others. And what I've noted is, let's say like one of my music albums, Stardust, has all kinds of frequencies from our solar system, tape star sounds, the elements in the stars. It puts white light in your aura if you use Carillion photography after you listen. But at any rate, So here we have this very celestial music with star sounds. And whenever I do a past life regression, people usually tell me about lives and stars. They come up with really funky out there stuff. Let's say I do a past life regression with my flower symphonies, in which we're working on taking out, let's say, taking out pain, taking out anger. They'll invariably will go right to a life in which someone has terribly wronged them and they're very angry. So it's as if sound is a carrier wave, and it's a carrier wave that goes from me to you, and it also goes from past to present and present to future. And think of the Hindus and all the ancient traditions. The Hindus, they, you know, think of light going through a crystal and breaking into rainbow color. Well, they say God's love goes through a crystal and breaks into attributes. So love is kind. Love is patient. You know, love does not enable bad things and so forth. And then they sing about all those attributes. They emulate those feelings, which is what music's all about. And it's more like a generator. So the Hindus, they sing these mantras to feel and fill up with attributes of love. And that becomes, you know, you ingest that. It's also done with the tree of life in the Jewish tradition. So they have on their picture of the tree of life, they have these things called sephiroth, the little circle. The idea is that God's energy goes through a crystal and breaks out into attributes that are emotions. And of course, God has the high test power, and as we involve, we get the weak test power of his emotions. And when we go into duality, we also get the negative aspect. So passion can be beautiful or terrible, depending on what we're passionate about. So if you look at the tree of life, there are symbols from ancient languages of light. And what I did in my Egyptian class was, because the tree of life is from Egypt, it originates in Egypt, is I used the symbols and put them into those sound codes so that you can tune into the different attributes of God. Each attribute being a different subset or sound, the master, but listening over and over, it's like you're a bucket. Every time you listen, you get a drop of that divine energy. You know, when a guru tells his devotee, say this mantra, I mean, you know, he means like 10,000 times, you know, because he wants to fill you up with that. And when you're filled up with that, you are that.
So wonderful. I listen to, I don't know if you know them, Deva Premal and Mitten. They do. So I listen to them and I just have tears in my eyes because it's speaking to my soul when I'm doing that. And it's very much like what you're saying there.
Absolutely.
You know, Jill, many, many years ago, we're talking about over 25 years ago, my family and I, we attended this event, and it was about the life story. I don't know if you know her name, Anna Mitchell Hedges. She found a quartz crystal skull on an expedition with her father in the British Honduras in 1924. And we got to hold it, and it was so magnificent. And I didn't know anything about it back in those days, and I still don't know a lot about skulls, but I know you work with crystal skulls for manifestation and healing. Please tell us how this crystal skulls and the work that you do with them interacts with the energy field, everything around it, and we can manifest, heal, and protect ourselves and our family.
First of all, I'm afraid crystal skulls have a bad rap by many because they're thought of as macabre. Please just toss that out. I have a funny way of looking at the world because I love music and I love math. And I see my room and I see the proportions that would create a musical interval. And I see my world often through the lens of music like Pythagoras did. And so I just had a crystal skull and I was playing with it. And it dawned on me that, think of cymatics. And in cymatics, you have a plate, you vibrate it, you put some sand on this vibrating plate, and then you make a sound like om. And then the sound will go out to the edges, come back in. It'll pile up, and then it'll make holes, makes a design. And it makes the design of Om. And I think this is about the third time I've referred to that interaction between matter and sound. Where were we? Oh, the skulls. Oh, yeah. So I want you to think of energy inside the skull as having boundaries. It's the shape of the skull. So think of your brain, you know? Let's say my head's skinnier than yours. And so therefore, I'm going to have an interference pattern. Think of that cymatics going on in your brain. So my thoughts are going to come to the edge of my skull and bounce back in and hit different areas of my brain. I'm going to have different cymatics in my head because the shape of my head is very unique. And same with you and every listener. And the same with a crystal skull. And the other thing is that you're going to have those same kind of interference patterns of air hitting the outside of any object, making any object have a frequency matrix sound identifiable pattern. That's confirmed by Sherry Edwards with this super cool hearing, who recognizes the sound of a Templar cross or the sound of a circle. They all make a frequency too small in volume for us to hear. But, you know, when every time you see a Templar cross, you get a kind of feeling, and it's always the same with the Templar cross. So it just dawned on me. I was just looking at a skull, and I thought, oh, my goodness, that creates a frequency. Why? Because it's in the shape of a skull. Well, who else has skull like that? You and me. So if there's resonance between the same notes, you've got these two violins, you play the A, and the second A sings, then there's resonance between skull A and skull B. If that isn't cool enough, they're made of crystal. And my understanding is that the crystal kingdom has ascended. Why do we all go to the store and buy them? I always have them in my pockets. I got them all over my house and lawn. Why? Because their energy's higher than ours. That's why we like dolphins. When we hang around with higher energy, we absorb it and become it. It's why we go to sacred sites where saints have been. And so you have a skull. Oh, and one more little side trip. In ancient Egypt, in their papyri, their medical papyri, if someone banged up their skull, let's say making a pyramid, who knows, whatever, has a concussion or something, their recipe to fix it was to sleep with an ostrich egg. Hmm. And I know at first glance, I thought, wow, that's really, what were they smoking, you know? Then I realized, well, an ostrich egg, pretty much the size of your skull. That's it. It's shape resonance. You see, there's frequency resonance, but there's also shape resonance. So they're healing their physical crack in their skull by simply having, if they had another skull, but I guess they didn't, or having an ostrich egg to heal by just being around a shape, by taking in that frequency. So here you've got a crystal skull. It's crystal. It's high frequency, and it directly communicates to our structure, our bone structure in our head. And furthermore, what are our crystals communicating with? Well, that would be silicone chips, quartz crystal. So crystal has the ability to send and receive signals. So what I do with the skulls on my site is I have a ceremony, and I connect them through ancient methods with the skulls that are found and unfound. The Schiller Institute in Germany has some really cool photographs of, they have a photon camera, you know, a light camera, little tiny units of light. And they show two crystals close and far away exchanging light streams.
So how... How are these crystals made if somebody wanted one for their own healing and to connect to like a higher consciousness for themselves or raise their own vibration? How would they know, you know, who to go to get that, and how are they made and the intention behind that?
Well, I've done some out of body, and I've seen some of this, well, the skulls in one Atlantis temple, and it's not like anything I've seen here. What I saw was a skull about the size of the head, our heads. It was on this table. It was in the center of a temple. It had like colored eyes. It had like red eyes and a movable jaw part. And I had great reverence for it, as if it was conscious. And I do believe everything is conscious. So, but there was an understanding that it's conscious. And it housed the best of our attainment in this community, in this temple. And it also generated like our devices. It wasn't our technology, but it was a source of power for the whole community. And it was a signal generator. So I haven't seen anything like that. But the legend has it that there's 12 of them. And perhaps this Mitchell Hedges skull is one of them. Anyway, but it doesn't matter if they're hidden because the skulls can find each other. Hmm. And so I would say to go with your heart. Mm-hmm. I think a little skull works. A bigger skull probably is a more potent. And then what I do with some of mine is, you know, you have a rose quartz, which of course is going to give you a loving feeling. A lapis one, you know, just the crystal is going to have a certain quality. When I do with mine, if someone gets one of mine, I will channel their higher self and let their higher self pick it. Even if it's like a clear one and I have a bunch of clears, I found that people are drawn to a skull, you know? So let's say you have three, they're clear. Mine are made with machine power, you know, big hunk of crystal. They have an electrical tool, but they're handmade with that tool. So they're all a little different. And I just channel, for me, that's what I do. I channel and connect somebody with them. But I really think you could get on Amazon or go to a store and feel into it. They're all over the board. There's all different kinds. The spiritual tool that I use, and I have videos on it. If it's a radio and it makes a broadcast, let's say you want to manifest a partner. So create the feeling of a partner. Ask the skull to broadcast it. It's crystal. It's computer. It looks like the internet. It connects to you. Great manifesting tool.
Wow. I think everything you've shared today is, it resonates with me, because my message part of it on this show is that we can raise the consciousness for the greater good of humanity and the planet by coming together with heart-centered people, and they're consciously creating the life that they love. And everything that you've sharing here today, I feel, is part of that. So I thank you for that. And Jill, this is so fascinating. We could go on, I know. It's been so informative, so inspiring and empowering. And I know you have all these beautiful gifts you're giving, as some of them you mentioned today to our listeners today. And please note that Jill, where you can find her and everything she offers, and these gifts will be below the episode of this show. So please share with us, Jill, what you're giving to the audience to empower them so they can live their best life through this transformation and healing with sound.
Thank you. At jillswingsoflight.com, I have a song from one of many music collections. I have one from Paint Your Soul with solfeggio and Fibonacci tones, Tuning You to Nature. I have the Stardust ones, a sample from that album with Capturing Star Energy. I have a sample from the two flower symphonies that I have that take out negativity, even in your subconscious mind and past lives, and just replace it with virtue. I have a sample from a chakra CD, a sample from the rays and the color rays and the rays of angels and masters. It's a little sample. I think it might be pink. All the pink angels and masters, and the music's in pink. I have one with a body CD, Tuning One of Your Body Organs. And that's on Jill Swings of Light and at coronavirusdefense.org. I have the music for to boost your immune system, the hour of music there. And I think there's a chapter, a free chapter on Jill's Wings of Light from my couple of my books.
Mm-hmm. And I'll get that other one for you for the coronavirus and put that below this episode too. That is so generous of you. And wow, what a lot of great resources for people, not only to be inspired, but to be empowered. Jill, I can feel it from my heart as I'm speaking to you. And I want to just thank you from my heart and soul and your heart and soul and your wisdom that you shared today on transforming and healing yourself with sound. Namaste, Jill.
Namaste.
Thank you for listening to the Heart Soul Wisdom Podcast with Moira Sutton. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please join our community at moirasutton.com and continue the discussion on our Facebook page, Create the Life You Love. You will be part of a global movement connecting with other heart-centered people who are consciously creating the life they love on their own terms. Together, we can raise our consciousness for the greater good of humanity and for our planet.